Welcome back to Weekly Winners. Today is Wednesday, October 13th. And it finally happened. I did not go 500 this NFL weekend. I went much, much worse. I believe I was feeling okay going into Monday. I was 6-9. And as you know, I had that Colts bet. I was like, Colts money line. They're going to beat the Ravens in this game. I was feeling good for a whole lot of that game. My 0-7-9, that's going to pay plus 285. I'll lose my unit and a half, and survive, get out of here. Instead, the Colts blow out at the end, two-point conversions from the Ravens. Lamar, just insane game from him. I think he... Well, the stat is something like there's like 2,000 times a quarterback has attempted over 40 like past attempts in a game, and out of all of them, that game was the highest completion percentage. So I go 6-10, just dumb bad now. So what did you dub week 5? I don't think I had
week 5 I said don't lose units week or stop the bleeding week or something.
That might be week 6 for me, desperation week. But a fine slate of games overall. Let's get into it. Sunday. Both our teams play at noon. Let's just start with the Packers at Bengals. Maybe the weirdest ends to a game.
Yeah.
I've seen it quite some time.
Five missed field goals from 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter to like end of regulation. Just nuts. I think all five came in like a 4 minute span or 5 minute span in game time. I guess if you're the Packers, you don't feel great about it.
No.
But there's a good chance the Bengals beat all the other NFC North teams. So in that case, you feel good about it. Like, you beat a 3-1 team. You didn't do it. It wasn't pretty.
No.
But at the end of the day, you're 4-1, and that's it's a good game to get.
And there's a reason they're signing cornerbacks after that game.
Right.
Ja'Marr Chase made him look silly out there from time to time, which I aired on. It's kind of ugly.
Right at the end of the first half there. Like, that's inexcusable. That ball should have been picked.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least knocked down, you know. I think right now the Packers 2-0 against AFC North. Which feels good because there's a good chance the rest of the NFC North at most wins one game each. So I guess if there's a bright spot to that game, that'd be it. That the Packers kind of helps with the commanding lead in the division.
Right. Let's go to my team. Steelers just handle the Broncos at home. Nothing too exceptional. Juju is out for the year, which stinks. The thing about this game is it made Vegas buy back into the Steelers, so how could I not? Like, they're 2-3 now. I would have been feeling so good if the Ravens would have lost on Monday night. Like, the division's kind of a mess. Like, a lot of 3-2 and 2-3 going around. I peaked. Steelers are in prime time at home. It's the Seahawks next week. Like 5-point favorites.
Interesting.
Which I didn't really expect. If they can go, the Broncos beat the Seahawks in back-to-back weeks, like, that's a just fine team. Like, it's fringe of playoffs, I'd say, but.
I feel like that line's a lot different if Russ is in, obviously.
Everyone loves, you know, the Big Ben, Geno Smith, primetime game. But we'll get to that. on our Sunday show. Crossed the pond. We got up for it. Jets, Falcons, bad teams. Got an awful game. Kyle Pitts showing why he was the number one pick. Or the first non-quarterback pick. Yeah, he was very impressive. The Jets didn't look that bad, but is this Falcons defense? I don't think you could really put a whole lot of stock into this game at all. But
something I'd be curious to see is what's like the most consecutive games to start a career with an interception. Because whatever it is, there's a chance Zach Wilson could break that.
It's probably the same year that Manning set that interception record. Right. You'd have to guess. It would just kind of make sense.
You'd think.
I mean, he might have a shot at it. It's like guys didn't just start game one like they do now.
Right.
We go next game, Saints in Washington. High scoring affair, as all football team games have been this year. Saints 33, football team 22. Saints are just good.
Yeah.
They're just staying a step behind, waiting for the Buccaneers to make that misstep. I think the main question is, are they good enough to force that misstep themselves?
I don't think. Like, although I think the Saints are good, I don't think their defense is going to be quite good enough to
It doesn't force. Look like it right now, no.
Because I think in both head-to-head matchups, the Bucs might just win that game 35-28, you know.
Right.
And because, like, although the Bucs defense isn't that great either, the Bucs offense is significantly better than the Saints offense.
Right. When do we get that game? It's got to be. We got to get one of those matchups coming up.
You'd think.
It's kind of weird when you look up and like some of these teams have only had one division game.
Yeah.
So you got five more of these things to squeeze in.
Well, I remember like. As a kid, I would be looking at like the Packers schedule and I'd be like, oh great, like we have the Lions week 15 and 17. Mm-hmm. Like there's just some division opponents they just schedule at the end of the season. Sometimes like
that. We go speaking to our in that division, Lions and Vikings, Lions heartbreaker again. They play another team, but they're significantly worse than close. There's no excuse for the performances the Vikings offense has put on the last 2 weeks. You could say that it's because it's so centered around Dalvin Cook and without him, but Madison has performed
right
excellently in his absence. So it's hard to really pin it on that.
I think they'll be in the market for a QB this offseason.
Do you think it's time?
I think it is. I mean, you know, when they signed Cousins to what, $20 million a year, $25 million.
It was big at the time.
It was big at the time. It's kind of average now. But they overpaid for a serviceable QB. He's not good. He's not bad. He'll kind of do what he needs to do on most weeks.
They got him for another year after this year. Slotted to make like a lot of money.
Yeah, I think they're going to try.
$45 million of a cap hit.
I think they're going to try working their way around that.
This is the most NFL contract I've ever seen. Just a gross amount of money tied up in the signing bonus, making them extremely difficult to trade.
Right. I don't know. It's, I guess if they can't trade them, I don't know how much they save by cutting them.
Not a lot.
In which almost case, nothing. Maybe they'll wait until the year after to. Mm-hmm. But there's no way Cousins gets re-signed, I don't think.
I mean, he'd go somewhere, I think. He is old, but.
I know he would go somewhere, but he won't be on Minnesota after next year. I can guarantee that.
Right. I think if you do that, you're risking the loss of Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson just when their contracts are up. But if you can get a young quarterback in there to kind of grow with that core, I think you really have something there.
Right.
Another divisional, Titans at Jaguars. Titans get right, just stop the Jaguars here.
Lock of the week.
I mean, Derrick Henry is just a beast. You can't stop him. The Jags certainly can't. And my goodness, like last year he did the 2,000 yards, which, you know, not hadn't been done in however long. Just that mark is wildly impressive. Crazy to go back to see like the guys that did it.
Right. And
they did it in so few games, but it's how pass heavy the league is now, the fact that he's doing it right now. But the touchdowns have been just as impressive. He's got 7 through 5 weeks.
I'm trying to think. I think his over under on rush yards was like 1,695 or something. Yeah. Something ridiculous where it's like, that's high, but like part of me wants to take the over. Like
it felt like the ceiling. It's like we, as a principle, do not put running back season totals higher than this.
Right.
Like we're doing the max.
Right. And the reason I didn't bet it was because up until this year, Henry, he wouldn't have those crazy games till it got cold.
Right.
That's when he was at his best.
He'd fire up at the end of the year.
And
that's why he was the ultimate fantasy
running
back.
But now he's just doing it. Like week 1 through 5. I mean, I guess week 1 played did not have a great game, but 2 through 5 here, he's been putting up the numbers he usually puts up in December, November. Right. Like might go for 2,500 yards with the extra game. Who knows?
That's the thing about this year, depending on your fantasy structure, he might go, his playoff schedule might be Steelers, 49ers, Dolphins, which Dolphins isn't huge. They still have a fine defense, but Steelers, 49ers, you hope he can get you there through those.
But right.
Last year, it was something crazy where they had like just the 3 worst run defenses in the league, and he was just destined to go off. For my lock of the week, Panthers, like -3 against the Eagles, they lose. I mean, it's just they didn't know how to contain Jalen Hurts.
No.
Like, they can be a bad offense, but if you're going to let them get loose, like, a guy with that kind of talent is going to just going to have a field day on you.
Yeah, Darnold had his first, bad game of the year.
Yeah, it was not good for them.
2 picks. Not a great completion percentage, if I remember right.
3 picks and 3 sacks. Oh. I don't really think anyone is thinking the Eagles defense is very good still.
Right.
I think it was kind of more on him than.
Right. It was on Darnold playing bad, not right. On the Eagles defense
being good. I mean, they get the credit then when we do.
Right.
With Dolphins at Bucks, just. This Dolphins seems just really bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, how much does it help when Tua gets back?
Not really.
Like, Jacoby Brissett put up 275 yards, 2 TDs and an interception. Maybe that's 275, 2 TDs and not an interception.
It's more likely to be 275, 1 TD and no interception.
Right. Is it?
Tua, he just doesn't really score. Like, he won't turn the ball over, but he just doesn't score.
My point is, even if he's that slight improvement over Jacoby Brissett, still lost by 28.
So right.
What's that really going to do? Even if he turns that interception drive into a touchdown drive, it doesn't quite matter in this one. But Patriots-Texans, they get it, but it was – they almost blew it to the Texans in this one. Mac Jones was not good. 230 with a TD and an interception. Davis Mills was 303 TDs, no interceptions. I mean,
talk about a bounce back performance. Threw for like 30 yards last week.
That's the best game you've seen after rookie quarterback this year.
Right.
By a considerable margin. It's almost like.
And it's funny because he did it without throwing the ball to Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
What did he have? Like three receptions? Well,
I'm sure Brandon Cooks was shut down by Stephon Gilmore, right?
Oh, right. Yeah.
And then we go to insane game. Browns at Chargers. The Chargers in this one, they pull it out 47-42.
Whoever had over 88.5, you're feeling good about that.
Real sharp bet on that one. This was just nuts. Like, it's one of these games. I was glancing at the lines for next week, and there's games that I think fit this mold that you can't take into too much of an account. I think both of these defenses are still good, but the moment that offenses start going back and forth like that, you're just deflated. You're like on and off the field. And then by the time you're hitting like third, fourth quarter, it's just.
Right. I'm guessing the defenses were just tired.
Yeah.
I think that's what that came down to.
Mm-hmm. I think the Browns and the Chargers both still have excellent defenses.
Right.
This game was not indicative of that, I don't believe. Bears at Raiders. Raiders, obviously. Bigger issues than losing to the Bears at home right now, but yeah. So a win's a win for the Bears in this one.
Yeah.
They did not look good. Absolutely. Gruden having to resign after his emails getting leaked with the Raiders. I think the reports were that was not it. They were just going to keep releasing emails until he did resign.
Sounds about right. Owners league, you know.
Yeah, just Gruden, you know, sending emails, racist emails into the ether to no one else.
Right. No one else needs to be held accountable. Yeah. There's a chance the Raiders just lose 75% of their games from here on out.
I did look who the interim is. I've already forgotten his name, but he's the special teams coordinator / assistant head coach. And I think the Raiders, obviously this loss to the Bears is concerning, just for their team composition. I think they might not have as much of a hiccup as people may think. This guy's been in the league for 20 years, and he was with Gruden when he was in Tampa Bay. And then he bounced around the league, and then he landed with him when he got the Raiders job. Like, he knows how to run this system.
I think it's more so the divided locker room. Did you see the players that were like posting on Instagram for the Raiders in support of Gruden?
Yeah, that was, I have to mention there weren't all the facts out yet. Like,
well, no, that was literally like yesterday and last night. Like, all the facts were out at that point about what was in those emails. And when you have, I mean, the Raiders have the most diverse locker room in football.
Yeah.
You'd have to assume, considering they have the only active homosexual player in the NFL.
Right.
Like, I just think they're coming up on a very divided locker room. And I think that's where more of their issues will be.
And we'll find out. It'll make for some interesting.
Just like you have players openly saying, like, we stand with JG. Mm-hmm. Like, what else is that supposed to mean? Like, I don't know. I think there's going to be some interesting locker room stories over the next few weeks and into the end of the season from the Raiders.
Yeah, it's possible. The Lions are going to be really playing this week. Look, they're pretty big dogs to the Broncos. Now let's move on to your baby boys, the Cardinals hosting the 49ers. Ugly, but you take a win there, I think.
Ugly, but divisional opponent.
Yeah, have to take it.
17-10. They also covered for me, so get some brownie points from me. But yeah, I mean, Kyler didn't play great. Defense played really well. Do we know if Trey Lance is going to miss any time yet?
I haven't heard. I don't think so.
Because I heard it was kind of 50-50. Yeah, I think yesterday I heard that.
No one knows yet.
But yeah, you take a win there. 2-0 in the division, which in the NFC West, you'll take that all day. Do they have the Seahawks, do we know, when Russ is still going to be out?
That is definitely significant.
Because then you guarantee yourself 500 in the division.
I think it's week. They play them not this week, but next week.
So yeah, so they'll have. Yeah. So, I mean.
That's also their season closer.
So, yeah, I think that would be definitely big for them to go get a win against Geno Smith and move to 3-0 in the division. I think they're sitting pretty comfortable at, can't say win in the division just because the Rams are so right good, but you're pretty comfortable at locking playoffs at that point.
You're not even a game up, because if you lose to the Rams, who is your most likely loss, they just immediately take the tiebreaker from you when you're
right
back down. So, I mean, they – I'm just amazed they're doing this with giving double-digit carries to James Conner. He's just not good. He just doesn't get over, like, 3 yards of carry. Like,
well, and that's the thing. And the games where Edmonds gets a lot of carries, he averages, like, 8 yards a carry. It has been nuts. I mean, what, 2 weeks ago he had, like, 8 carries for 120 yards or something ridiculous like that. Like, and he's a better dual threat than James Conner. Right. Like, he can catch the ball.
James Conner's rushed the ball 63 times this year. What do you think his longest rush from scrimmage is?
8 yards.
It's 11. Oof. He's 63 for 201, so just over 3. It's just so pedestrian. Like,
just over 3 in the NFL isn't great.
It perplexed me when he got picked up from by the Cardinals after the Steelers moved on from him. Like, I just kind of thought, like, we maybe bounce around from here to there, but I didn't really think, like, all right, this is a running back. Like, keep the divisional going. Giants at Cowboys, and Giants kind of think proof who they are. I just can't. I'm just gonna not try not to think about the Saints ever in terms of their games against other teams and trying to evaluate them. It just never makes sense, and it doesn't hold up.
Right. I mean, one thing you do have to mention for the Giants is just the amount of offensive starters that were either
it's
hurt before the game or during the game. Mm-hmm. Does that make up 24 points? Probably not. But, I mean, Saquon, if he only misses a week, that would be nuts. That looked so bad.
But they said lower ankle sprain, and that's
right.
Just isn't that serious of an injury.
It's not, but just the way it looked. And then Danny Dimes kind of ranted about this on Sunday a little bit. But if he gets cleared – to play this week, I'll be frustrated. I hate that about the NFL.
It had to be a concussion. It just had to be.
Right. I mean, when you literally have players from the other team, like, going to, like, run because it looks like you're going to fall just trying to walk after getting hit in the head, like, that's bad.
Yeah.
He was stumbling off that field. I don't even think he should play the week after. Like, it's not stuff to mess around with, like, and you know they're going to do everything they can to get him cleared ASAP.
Yeah.
And that's – I hate that about the NFL. Like, head injuries are no joke.
The night game, Bills at Chiefs, it's kind of all over this one. Like, the Bills just have a good defense. Holding the Chiefs to 20 points is a feat. And score what they do. Really just – just score 40 points on your own and win most games.
I was there with you. Bills money line. Yeah, a game kind of went the way we thought it would. One team had a defense and the other didn't.
Yeah, this is, I mean, two touchdowns, two picks from Mahomes. Nothing really. I mean, he was trying out there. Like,
he's still like the second favorite to win MVP. It's all name.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, like, there's so many quarterbacks who are just astronomical numbers. Like, you would be having to put up, like, several, like, 450, four or five touchdown yard.
Right.
Four or five touchdown games, like, in a row to, like, catch back up.
Yeah.
And on Monday night, we kind of talked about it. Colts at Ravens. Ravens get it done in overtime. I think Colts kind of really blew that one.
They handed it to him on a silver platter. Mm-hmm. Said, here, we don't want to win this game.
Yeah.
We want to let the Titans keep the lead in the division.
Titans might win that thing at like 8-9.
Yeah.
Just never a spot you want your division to be in.
So one thing we got to talking about on Sunday, just watching these games, was you know, like, who's winning Rookie of the Year for the offensive side of the football? I mean, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, just not playing good.
No.
Mac Jones has had the most success out of those three, still not playing great. I'd say he's in that serviceable level.
Right.
but, you know, so we're looking like Najee or Jamar Chase or Trey Lance could sneak in there, depending on how many games.
Right, so now, it's got to be Jamar Chase or Najee Harris, just basically.
So I was looking at the odds on that. Najee has the fifth best odds, which so Jamar is number one.
Mm-hmm.
But Jamar was tied with Mac Jones, I believe.
Well, that's the thing about the quarterbacks. Mac Jones gets the Patriots to a 9-8 wild card spot. And he's just going to get it.
Right. Okay, so so, yeah, Jamar Chase is at plus 345. Mac Jones moved down to 390. Trevor Lawrence is at third with 675, plus 675. Justin Fields plus 725. And Trey Lance has now moved above Najee Harris after starting one game.
Right. Not even that good.
And then Najee Harris is at the number six slot.
Yeah, it's not.
I mean, we knew it was a quarterback-heavy quarterback-heavy award.
Of course.
But, like, when your quarterbacks are going to – rookie quarterbacks might combine for, like, 100 interceptions this year. But, like, I just got to pull up some Najee Harris stats here quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 307 rush yards and two touchdowns. Again, that's rushing. And now we go to receiving. He's got 28 catches for 198 and a touchdown. Like, that's played five games. You have 500 rushing receiving yards, three touchdowns. Yeah. That's not bad. I don't think he should be number one. Jamar Chase has like 600 receiving yards and five touchdowns.
Right. Which it's not super sustainable.
Right.
A wide receiver. He's going to have games where it's, and maybe he won't, but history says he's going to have games where it's like
three for 25 yards and,
or like three targets, one catch, 11 yards. Like that.
Right.
The best wide receivers in the league have those games.
Yeah.
Like,
That just shocked me how high, like, Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence was the biggest one.
Mm-hmm.
Not only have they just not been winning football games, but he's looked pretty bad the first few weeks. And Justin Fields, I think, should probably be the highest quarterback on there.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that first game he started where
you're forgetting about Davis Mills.
That's true. Davis Mills.
I mean, I'm joking, but if he goes out the next 2 weeks and even just does like 250 yards, two touchdowns, 260 yards and 3 touchdowns again. Like, he's blown those other guys out of the water.
Right. Yeah.
Tall orders, like.
Right.
But, I mean, he did against the Patriots, who didn't, no one's really considered as, like, a bad defense.
Yeah, I think once Tyrod comes back, which will be not this week, but next week, right?
I have to look at the timeline. I think they give kind of a big range.
Oh. I think Davis Mills will really have to go out there and show something for them to not go back to Tyrod. Just because he's had one really good game and one really bad game.
Right.
It's just super small sample size that I think the Texans would go back to Tyrod.
Yeah, you're probably right there, but. So now it is, we're on the eve of NBA season here. We're regular season games are coming. So I got kind of the weekly winners top 20 here. Players going into this season that I would want on my team to win a championship this year. So you won't find Kawhi in this list because he might not even play. So just feel free to yell at me when.
Do you incorporate salary cap?
No.
Okay.
Just I want this player, kind of fancy draft style, win a championship in 21-22. Number 20, Donovan Mitchell. He obviously scored a ton of points, but that team has just not found postseason success equivalent to their seed or expectations. And until that happens, you just can't believe. Yeah. I'm big on, like, show me what you can do. And until I've seen that incorporate into postseason success, I just don't believe it. There's empty stats in the NBA. I'm not saying Donovan Mitchell has empty stats. I'm his top 20 player. But I want you to show me how those stats win you championships.
Yeah, me and you are very similar in the sense that we both care a lot about rings. And like, there's some people that are like, oh, like, you know, we went to the Eastern Conference Finals or we went to the NFC Championship game, like, that's a good year. Mm-hmm. But if you do that year after year, that's not a good year. A good year would be getting better, you know. So
right, but same time, there's like, I want to say like 6 guys on this list that have a ring. Like, you got to look at like potential, like other playoff success, like what, who do I think can make that step? Who, you know, is, because numbers do matter. That will, you do enough of them, it will correlate to wins, but just haven't seen it yet. I don't think Mitchell. Number 19, Jimmy Butler. I'm a pretty noted Jimmy Butler hater. I've had plenty of arguments with Egg Avatars online about how good Jimmy Butler is, and I'll lump him in with my number 18 because this is the argument I've consistently had. Number 18 is Chris Middleton. I think Chris Middleton's better than Jimmy Butler. One can shoot really well, one can't. They're both, you can give Jimmy Butler that defensive edge, but Middleton is a perfectly serviceable defender. And I just don't think you can be the best player on a championship team if you can't shoot and score. And Jimmy Butler just shoots an atrocious percentage from the 3-point line.
So is Giannis not the best player on the Bucks this year?
He's the best player. He's probably coming later on this list.
Right, but you did say that if you can't shoot, you'll never be the best player on the championship team.
Did you see him in game 6?
He could shoot from the free throw line. I mean,
Giannis might be a better shooter than Jim Butler. Jimmy Butler is not good.
I know. I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying Giannis is not a great 3-point shooter.
Yeah, I didn't say he was. It doesn't take to be a great three-point shooter, to be better at it than other guys who are not good at it. And the part of it is, like, he shoots a lot. He shoots 32% of his career. Not good. And he's getting worse. Shot 18% from three last year. You can't win a championship from 18% from three.
What did Giannis shoot?
I don't know. Better than 18%. I almost gave it to you. Because Giannis doesn't take 5-6 a game. He knows, you got to take 2 or 3 to keep people honest. 35%
for his career?
For last year. And that's up from 16. Oh, that was 30% this year.
What's his career?
Double. 29.
Find that hard to believe.
It's true. It's hard, isn't it? Giannis comfortably better than Jimmy Butler. Middleton, miles ahead. Above Middleton, I have Zion. Obviously, zero playoff to success to speak of, hasn't made it, but those stats, the potential, it could come quickly. Like, I love Chris Middleton, but if you were like a little 1 year swap, you can have Zion. It's like Zion and Giannis, that might just be like the best team you've ever seen. Like, if he just comes on the way some like your three players do, it can just be nuts. I had Bradley Beal. I think this is a little lower than other people would have him. I think he's helped by the perpetual trade talks. So often he is affiliated with a trade to help get a championship team, quote unquote, like over the hump to get them to like that kind of that contendership that I think people associate him with, like being on a championship team when he's like rarely been to the playoffs. He scores a lot, but again, that's not enough for me on this list. Above him is a guy who scores a ton, but we've seen it this year show playoff success, and that's Trae Young. I think when looking at those guys next to each other, I think Trae Young's the obvious choice. There's more room to grow in his game. He's going to handle the ball. He's going to distribute a lot better than Bradley Beal, and he could certainly even outscore him. Of that, a guy who definitely would not be this high or probably even on this list without the guts he showed without Kawhi last year, and that's Paul George. Kawhi went out, and he still made that Clippers team dangerous in the playoffs. They almost got there against the Suns. And if he could have taken that team to a finals, stepping from that Robin to that Batman role, yeah, he'd be getting all the credit in the world right now. As it stands, I got him 13 or 14 in that number 14 in the NBA for me, just ahead of him. And this is the line, I think. It's Chris Paul, got to the finals last year. He was the piece that got the Suns there. Was he the best player on the team? I think that was debatable at times. But I think he is the line at 13. I think 12 and above is you have been or could be the best player on a championship team. Chris Paul's that line. Like, him and Booker were so close that it's like, who was the best player? It was like night to night. People have different opinions based on defense and ball handling and all this. I think that's the line. So number 12, I have Jason Tatum. Obviously hasn't done it yet, but just the development, he's been so good. He's just improved. I think if he takes that next, the hardest step, but that next step, he's there. He's MVP contention level player. Above him is where I do have Booker, has taken that step and kind of has that next final step ahead of him to jump into the elite level, but he's been to the finals and he's shown that he can score 40 in the finals, which I don't doubt that Booker could do, but just hasn't quite done it yet. Number 10 is our Anthony Davis. He's really good. He's probably slipped up from where other people's list would be, but he's the number 2, and this playoffs just there's nothing on paper wrong with the Lakers. They just couldn't beat the Suns. They just weren't as good as them. And when you have that team that's LeBron and AD, these big superstar players, like I probably have no business putting them ahead of Chris Paul and Devin Booker. If you get beat by them, but given maybe his own team, where he maybe has more of an ability to be that number one. I don't really think that number two role fits Anthony Davis. I think he's probably better as a one. Obviously, players this skilled, you just get them together and make it work. But I got him number 10. He's rounding out my top 10. 9, I have Damian Lillard. Hasn't been to the finals, but we've seen Western Conference championships with him as the best player. I don't think it's that much of a leap to say he could take it one step farther and get to the finals. And he's going to be the highest guy on this list that's available. Just add a guy who could be the best guy on a championship team to your roster. I think some teams should maybe look into it. 8, I have Embiid. He's flirted with MVP contention. Hard to say that guy couldn't, especially just watching him some nights, just the level of dominance. Hard to say he couldn't be the best player on championship teams. 7, I have Luka. Again, he's kind of taken those steps quicker than some of these other young guys on the list, but if he just keeps getting better, I don't know if it happens with the Mavericks, but you have to think playoff success is coming in the future for Luka. I think that series with the Clippers is going to be was very valuable for him to kind of be in that hard-nosed playoff series that goes deep, kind of learn what it takes to win those. 6, I have Harden. Could be further down this list if they're real about enforcing the shooting foul rules where the players can't initiate it. I hate watching them, but you can't really argue with the results. 5 is Curry. We've seen him. He's been the best player on the championship team. These guys are easy. This is where I'm going to get yelled at. Number 4 is LeBron. It's the same argument as Anthony Davis. Like, you had the chance last year and you didn't do it. Like, you had, on paper, you had the better team and you lost. Like, I'm going to take massive points off for that. Like, I can't give you that credit when you didn't do it. You had all the advantages. I just think LeBron can obviously win another NBA championship, but I think he needs more help than ever. He's been the best player on the championship team 4 times, but he's just, I'm not gonna say old because he keeps putting up crazy points, but just building these rosters, just bigger, bigger, and bigger with former All-Stars, and just not getting it done last year was, or even losing in the first round of the Suns was, or the second round of the Suns was just a huge slight to me, which is why 3, I have Jokic. Won the MVP last year, and we've seen playoff success from that team even when they're not fully healthy. And they're not going to be fully healthy this year. Jamal Murray is still recovering. But I know of a guy who's won MVP and then took the championship type jump the next year. He's shown he has the skill, and it does not take much imagination to imagine him as the best player on that Nuggets team winning the championship. especially if you can get the true all-star performance year-round from Michael Porter Jr. after they paid him. Two, Kevin Durant, no explanation. He's one if they beat the Bucks, but they didn't. Head-to-head, Giannis is one. I will not be hearing arguments for anyone being out of Giannis.
I won't, but I will say, I want to preface this by saying I'm not a LeBron hater, but you have him too high. I just think the fact that every year he gets more and more help, like you said, like last year, they still lost in the second round. Mm-hmm. I just think that coupled with his age, if this whole thing is about building.
It was the first round, actually.
It was. That coupled with his age, you know, if this list is about building a team to win an NBA championship, that's going to have to happen in the first year or two with LeBron. I just don't know how many years he has left in him.
Right. I was just looking like, all right, Giannis is off the board, KD's off the board, Jokic's off the board. Who do I want? I'm going to have a hard time saying James Harden before I say it.
Well, I think you have him too as well. He's never won a ring.
Right.
Not a ton of playoff success. I mean, I don't consider like winning the first round playoff success. No,
he's very bad in the playoffs.
I think you have Harden too high, and especially with that new rule. I don't know how much it'll be enforced in the regular season, right, but I could see it being heavily enforced in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those were my two biggest gripes with your list.
Right. You take like Embiid over LeBron?
Yeah.
I just couldn't do it for a championship for 1 year. Like, Embiid hasn't done it either.
Yeah, hasn't, but I would say over the last few years, LeBron's teams have been much better than, like, since he went to the Lakers, LeBron's teams have been better than those Sixers teams.
I mean, Embiid had three other All-Stars of his own, and he didn't do it either.
Yeah, I guess, but
notable omissions are we'll find Kyrie or on this list. He might not play this year, right. Put him on the list. I think there is a hope that you get Kawhi back, but if he doesn't play, like barely in the regular season, I can't put him on the list. I glanced at a couple other lists. Some people were getting a little frisky. They wanted couple guys that are like they've shown up for like a year, and I just, unless you're super young, like a Luka or a Zion, I want to see a little bit more consistency before top 20. Top 20 feels like a lot from the Knicks, Julius Randle. Especially with like a Tom Thibodeau team, like they're not exactly the benchmark for longevity and success.
Right.
Guys are very low on the Knicks this year. Just because they, despite a top four finish in the East last year, just it's not sustainable really.
Yeah. Couple guys that I like, but I just couldn't figure out where to put them on the list though. Like, who do you knock out? Like, I think Ja's been a very solid player.
I would love to get Ja over Donovan Mitchell, but I think it's coming. He hasn't shown it yet, so
right.
I would not surprise me for a second for Ja to have a better year than Donovan Mitchell, but
right. And then another guy I love to watch play, but I just don't know if you could – I don't think you could build a championship team around him would be De'Aaron Fox.
I mean, just
– he's fun to watch play, but
– there's, like, a lack of playoff success, and then there's, like – I haven't even considered De'Aaron Fox in the playoffs. Like,
right.
Like, yeah, it would be exciting, but, like, And you don't have to be in that best player role to be in the top 20. There's not that many guys in the league. I said there's 11 guys who, or 12 guys who could. More realistically, there's probably 4 or 5 who actually like have a chance to this year.
All right.
So, but I think De'Aaron Fox is super interesting as a 2 or 3 on a team. I think he's a guy you'd love to add to one of these championship type teams, but I think he's kind of stuck in Sacramento with Luke Walton.
Yeah, and that's why I said like I didn't fight it because I couldn't justify putting him over someone else.
Mm. Right, well, thank you guys for listening. We'll have our full bets for week 6 on our Sunday episode. Maybe some NBA bets as well.
Do we want to throw out a couple Thursday night bets?
Yeah, let's throw a couple out. Also,
Thursday night football.
Winners of the week this week. Who are we going with? Almost forgot.
Oh gosh. Gruden. Oh. I actually think I'm gonna go with mine. Something that just happened yesterday, actually. Mm-hmm. The Atlanta Braves, a banged up team, only 15 games over 500, which sounds like a lot, but in baseball it's not that much. Knocking off my Milwaukee Brewer, our Milwaukee Brewers. It was tough, but yeah, I mean, you got to give it to them. Their season kind of looked over when they lost to Acuña for the season.
Yeah.
Because even when they lost to Acuña, they were hovering right around that 500 mark. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, I just don't even think they got a shot at playoffs. And now here they are heading to the NLCS. Mm-hmm. And if the Dodgers beat the Giants, they're going to have the home field advantage in the NLCS. So could be kind of a wild card team out. Right. I mean, they weren't a wild card team, right. But
dark horse,
we'll call it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, their pitching over, the month of September and then in October here has been a lot better than the rest of the season. And they're just kind of getting hot at the right time, which is what baseball is all about.
Mm-hmm. I'm going with, it's about time this guy won one of them. Josh Allen. He finds stat line, 315 yards and 3 touchdowns, 60 yards rushing and a touchdown. He's had better stat lines this year, but cemented himself as the best team in the AFC in this game. And like I said, he could have won that. He was eligible to win this the last couple weeks. It's about time that he gets one. It's kind of a give it to him for beating the Chiefs and having a very good game. It's kind of a culmination of his performance over the last few weeks. So Bucks going to Philadelphia Thursday night. They're 7-point favorites on the road. Eagles coming off the win against the Panthers. What are you thinking here? What's the?
I'm not gonna place the bet, but I do think the Bucks cover here. I think that defensive showing last week has kind of deflated that spread. Mm-hmm. I think it probably would have been around like 8.5. Because I mean they've been a streaky defense, like they only give up 17 to the Niners, like, but no, I do think the Bucs will cover, but I won't bet it. But something that I can guarantee, I can't lock it, but I can guarantee this game goes over 52. I don't see how it doesn't.
Right.
Because Hurts has proven that he can put up points. Bucs defense isn't great. I think Tom Brady might play till he's 60.
Just looks so easy.
I think he's just going to continue this insane year he's had. He'll probably go and throw for 350 and 4 touchdowns. Like, yeah, so I think this game pretty easily goes over 52. And then, I'm always losing game money on Thursday games, so I figured I might as well do it again. I kind of liked the payout on this bet. It'd be Jalen Hurts to have over 299 and a half pass yards, which he's done two or three times this year, over 2.5 touchdowns, and Philly to score over 22 and a half points at +500.
It's all over.
I like the odds of that happening because, well, if the pass yards and touchdown happens, odds are the over 22 and a half for Philly team total will happen.
In terms of props, I agree that I think the over is probably the play. You have to think Eagles contribute enough to it. No reason to think Tampa Bay's offense is going to slow down. And it's so pass heavy that I kind of like Tom Brady, 300 plus passing yards, and Tampa Bay to cover is +195. I just think that they kind of roll into each other there. Like if Tom Brady doesn't pass for 300 yards, like they might not cover.
Right.
I don't think they're gonna rush for 150 against the Eagles.
Right.
Because the Eagles burn defense a little more stout than we maybe anticipated at this start of the year. So yeah, I think, you know, and if Tom Brady gets to 300 yards, you have to assume they're probably doing what they should against the Eagles, which is to cover. So
yeah, I think this game will never get out of hand to the point where like I'm going to go turn it off. Like, I think the Eagles will keep it close enough where it's like until you get 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter and it's like, okay, well, now we can pretty much count the Eagles out. I mean, I think they'll consistently be two scores behind.
I mean, the Bucks defense is bad enough that they will win. They will lose a few games. I just don't see it coming Thursday night in front of the world.
Right.
I think it's going to be like a Sunday, like noon or 3 o'clock game, and it's like, well, you're going to the fourth quarter, it's like, oh, Bucks are down 14-6 or something.
Like, right. Down 7 to the Panthers.
Like. Right. I just don't see it happening here. I think this they just kind of handle. And this is where I feel dangerous. In week 6, just going, you think you know things now, but it's like, good team, bad team. Like, it's not upsets happen consistently. Like, there's not, it's so easy to just go to take favorites at this point in the year. Like, oh, yeah, Bucks are 7 points better than the Eagles. Seems 3 points better than this team. Like, I find that it's easy to fall into that trap. So I'm trying not to think, like, oh, we know what the Bucks are. We know what the Eagles are. The Bucks are a lot better than the Eagles. Because, you know, who knows better than us is. Thanks. It's seven for right. A reason, but I do think we're probably on the right side of that with the Bucks. I think that probably is the public play, but I just can't. I just don't see. I can't believe the Eagles +7 here, even at home.
Yeah,
I usually need no excuses to take a home dog, but I just don't see it in this one.
Is there a scenario where Tampa Bay is a dog this year, the rest of the season? Assuming they stay healthy. Obviously, they've got the NFC West this year. If
Rams
they go,
gone,
do they, if they go to Arizona,
what's the question to that? They go, where are we here? The Patriots, Dolphins, they got Eagles, Bears. They're at the Saints, I doubt they're.
They won't be dogs there.
At the football team, at the Giants. First of all, it's at the Falcons versus. They go to the Bills.
Okay, so
they'll be dogs.
There'll be dogs there.
Nope, they have the Bills at home.
That'll be a pick-em.
Probably. If the Bills keep playing like this, the Bills might be favored in that game.
Right. So they don't have the NFC West. The Rams must just be that extra game. Yeah, you don't play.
Yeah, they have the NFC North. They put the Patriots.
The NFC East.
Yeah, that's kind of the only chance the Bills there. So I don't really know which ones they'd be dogs in. That's going to be a good game. Look for that one. Maybe get flexed to 7.
Yeah.
Bills Bucks would be pretty good. Points galore on that one, you have to think.
Yeah, you got to imagine there's major playoff implications on that game. There's no way that that doesn't get flexed.
They're going to build that as the Super Bowl preview.
Yeah.
Which it very much might be. But thanks, everybody, for listening. Said Sunday we'll have all our picks. Maybe if you're looking for NBA picks, Twitter's probably the better place to find those on a day-to-day basis. Hard to kind of predict more than a day or two in advance. I really don't like doing that for NBA. But yeah, we'll see you guys on Sunday.